Hi, I'm John O'Donnell, and I'm an architect evangelist with Microsoft, and I'm here today at Tech Ready here in Seattle, and here with Stacy and John. So, Stacy, could you just introduce yourself to the camera and tell us a bit about your role?
Oh, sure. My name is Stacy Harris. I'm a software architect. Been with Microsoft for a long time in services, and now I'm part of Microsoft Technology Center in Detroit.
And John?
Hi, my name is John Mullinex. I am a platform strategy advisor with the Developer and Platform Evangelism Group with Microsoft. And that just basically means that I work with customers to help them figure out what are the amazing things they can do with our technology that drives their business.
So you've both delivered a very, very compelling story about Microsoft Robotics here at Tech Ready. So I just wanted to get you guys on camera, just for the people on Channel 9, and just give us a brief overview of the work you did with Ford and University of Michigan.
Sure. Let me start with that, and I'm sure Stacy will have something to add. But the work with University of Michigan and with Ford really kind of got kicked off a couple of years ago. We were talking about, you know, the present path with Ford Sync, where you can bring your digital life into your car, is really, really compelling. There's a lot of great stuff there. But what would happen if you could actually flip that paradigm around? What would happen if you could bring your car into your digital life and make it a first-class participant in both autonomous ways and in semi-autonomous guided ways, where you know the car is working on your behalf to help you have a richer social experience, a social life online? And we didn't know exactly what that would mean. But we thought there was a nugget there that needed to be explored, and so we worked together with this project at the University of Michigan to see, you know, if students had an application platform that for the car that could go from the embedded vehicle network all the way up to the cloud and leverage the natural user interfaces that make sense in a car environment like touch and hardware buttons and the steering wheel and your voice. You know, what would they want to build? What would they do with that? And that's really what this project is all about, exploring that question.
So Stacy, do you want to just go into some more detail? And
sure. And one of the interesting things when I got involved was we were looking at, Ford had been looking at various different architectures, and including things like using WCF in the car and some other, you know, all kinds of architectures that look more like enterprise architectures than embedded systems architectures. So I got involved, and I had been doing some experimenting with Microsoft Robotics in my house and some things that we could talk about. And I looked at the platform and said, you know, this really makes sense to use Microsoft Robotics because you've got a platform where you've got sensors and you've got actuators, although in our case, the actuators were limited. So robots really are composed of that. And that's why we said, well, let's see what happens if we use Microsoft Robotics and its model of building services around things like sensors and actuators in the car, and build services that let us talk to the car, get data from the data bus in the car, engine data and fuel data and things like that, get data from GPSs. In addition, using services for accessing software, like being able to then take that data, mash it up and tweet it or post it on Facebook,
right,
and building services for those types of things as well. So I looked at that as just a really natural fit for this really lightweight, fast services architecture.
Because people tend to think of, when they hear the word robot, they tend to think of, you know, obviously people have watched way too much science fiction, so they always tend to think of like a steel man walking around,
yeah,
you know, bringing drinks to his master. And in this case, you're now treating a car really as a robot, so at least from the point of view of being able to read all its sensors. I mean, obviously, you weren't actually controlling the car from Microsoft Robotics. It was more of a read thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In this case, because we were building a research platform and we had students involved, we didn't want to go out and you know, change the accelerator or change the windows or door locks or anything. So it is just read-only in this platform. But even there, when I look at interacting with things like devices, even though it's not the steel man walking around, it kind of, to me, feels like a robot.
Yep.
There are sensors, there are actuators. We need to be able to get sensor data in a very fast, highly concurrent way. This is a really natural fit for that.
And really, I think of it as, I mean, I agree with everything Stacy said, but I think back to the pervasive computing paper that Mark Weiser wrote in the early 90s, where he talked about, you know, this thing being invisible kind of all around you. And I think we're getting to the point with technology now where that's actually starting to become feasible, because, you know, for a long time we talked about it, And it was extraordinarily difficult, these agent-based systems and these sorts of things. You know, it's just lots and lots of good ideas and good thought has gone into this, but the ability for sort of average people to implement this and make something out of it, very, very low, right? Not yep. accessible. And this platform, you know, and leveraging Robotic Studio is kind of the secret sauce in this platform. I think it really gets us to a point now where you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do this stuff. I mean, it's we're on the cusp of a you know, not to sound too corny, but a brave new world in a lot yep. of ways, because, you know, we're talking about sensor data in a car, but this data could come from anywhere. And to have applications that dynamically adapt their behavior based on this data, and can take actions in a way that you enable, that's really, really powerful in so many cases.
So in previous videos, we've talked about both CCR and DSS, and I think Stacey probably delivered one of the clearest explanations of CCR, you know, I've ever seen, and we will. Yeah. I think we are going to try to actually cross-post that video as well. But could you talk to us about the caravan application that the students actually built out, which to me is just mind-blowing, what they did with that technology?
Well, I'll give a little bit of a description of it. The idea behind this and these students, there were six teams of students at the University of Michigan who built applications as part of their coursework, and these were entered into sort of a competition. And all of the applications were amazing and really compelling. The winning application, this caravan application, and there's some videos online that show this app as well, really demonstrated a lot of the capabilities of the platform and some really creative thinking. The idea is that if you go on a road trip with a bunch of cars in sort of a caravan, is that normally it's hard to keep track of who's where in that caravan. You may have, you know, everyone may have GPS or navigation system, but you're constantly back and forth on the phone. Where are you? Where, you know. The idea behind this is that using a software key that everyone who's running this caravan application in their car can then enter that key, a shared key, and now on their map, on the nav system, they see not only where they're located, but where the other people in the caravan are located. So now I can see where your car is and where his car is, and we can share data.
So in the old days, in fact, actually just coming into Seattle this morning, I'm sort of following the guy. I'm following my colleague in front of me, who's obviously going driving way too fast,
right,
trying to keep up with him. Because if I lose him, he is basically my GPS.
Yeah.
So with caravan, it sounds as if you don't have to be following each other because you can see where everyone is.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about losing.
Right.
And the other thing is, if you're on a long trip and he's a gas guzzler, so he's running out of gas, is that you can see that. We share that data. We get the data from the engine from the vehicle, and we can share that data. We can see who's going to run out of gas first. And you can actually build smarts. Now, they didn't necessarily do all of these things in the app at the first go, but you can build smarts in the app that say, hey, wait, he's running out of gas. Let's start looking for gas stations.
Okay.
And give you potential places to stop for gas. Or if, you know, John's hungry again, he can press the I'm hungry button, and the car will then actually send a message to all of the other cars. So each of these cars in the caravan is running its own DSS node, right? But they're interoperating, so they're now a distributed robot, if you will.
Yeah, and I think that this for me was the coolest thing of your talk today. The fact that I think in the past we've heard of cars in the DARPA challenge where maybe they had a bunch of servers, so they were running multiple nodes, but actually physically on one car. But in this case, you could have had 100 cars; it would be functioning as just one distributed robot.
Yeah. You can have actually because of the way that we communicate, you can have this sort of distributed robot. You can share messages. You can share data. Just opens up a huge amount yep. of possibilities for things like crowdsourcing, but also in this case, it's almost private crowdsourcing. It's
right.
It's group sourcing of data. So we're sharing it among our group. We could share it with everyone else, but we're sharing it among the group of these distributed nodes.
So it was a great example and demonstration of what can be achieved with Microsoft Robotics. But I know Stacey in particular. You've got this little secret that a lot of people don't know about, and that's your entire home now is functioning as basically an autonomous robot, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I was being a geek and being a little dissatisfied with some of the home automation software that's out there and wanting to do a little bit more with it, I decided to write my own home automation software. And as sort of an exercise to learn Microsoft Robotics, I built it using the Microsoft Robotics platform. So now things in my house, my lights, my garage doors, my sprinklers, I've even integrated with my security system so that I can get data about things like windows are open or closed or doors are open or closed. And I don't necessarily use that always for security, but, you know, for example, if someone rings my doorbell to leave a package, I get a message on my phone, and I can say, oh, geez, someone just rang the doorbell, probably a package delivery, call my neighbor and say, do you mind taking the package into the garage?
Right.
I'll open the door for you from here.
Okay.
And open up the garage door, the neighbor can drop it off, and then when they leave, I can close the door.
So what we'll do is, as part of this video, we'll actually link to the home automation piece as well.
Sure.
First of all, I just want to thank you for doing the session today. It was highly compelling, and thanks for talking to me.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was fun.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.